Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. I am so excited about today's show. We have none other than Nick Vujicic on the show today. He is our guest, and many of you, I am absolutely sure, have encountered Nick's powerful testimony before. He is an Australian-American known around the world as an evangelist, an entrepreneur, a speaker, and an author. Born without arms or legs, Nick has defied the odds to become an internationally renowned figure, sharing his inspiring life story and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to over 790 million people in 86 countries. Praise God for that. Now, Nick's early life was marked by challenges, including rejection, bullying, depression, suicidal thoughts, but through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, he found the strength to overcome these difficulties and to live a full and fruitful life, which he has so generously shared with the world. Now, Nick is now happily married to his beautiful wife. They have four children, two boys, twin girls, and together they reside in Dallas, Texas, where they run the ministry he founded, Nick V Ministry, formerly known as Life Without Limbs, but now you can find it as Nick V Ministries. And Nick, I am just absolutely overwhelmed with joy to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Dr. Jessica, thank you so much for having me, and hello to everyone listening.
Already, you know, I hear that Australian accent and it injects a certain cheer into the conversation. I feel like, you know, you just have a built-in advantage there. I love it. And you understand God's redemptive power firsthand. So tell us a little bit about your story. I know so many people have heard, but for those who haven't, tell us a little bit about your testimony and how you overcame just odds that seemed absolutely insurmountable.
Sure. Now, I appreciate the opportunity. For those of you who don't know, I was born in Melbourne, Australia, and I love the United States of America. I've been here now for 22 years. But when I was first born, I didn't like my life. I never thought I'd get married in my childhood, thinking ahead. You know, when people did ask me what happened to me, I was born without limbs, no medical reason why, and being limbless with no doctors really able to tell me what caused my disability. The bigger questions of life and purpose and is there a God? Why am I here? What if I am dependent on my parents for the rest of my life? What if I don't get married? Even if I did have kids and had a wife, how would I hold my wife's hand, or how would I pick up my kids when they're crying? And so when you're, you know, in elementary school, people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all these questions. And I wasn't depressed my whole childhood, but between ages 8 and 12, I was depressed. I had a brother and sister born after me. They had limbs. And so the whole question that we all have sometimes is, why me? And God says that he has a plan for us, but we also know that disability, sickness, death itself was not God's perfect plan. That all came in through sin. But what the enemy tried to use for bad, God can turn into good. And my complex issue as a kid, as you can imagine, is why would a loving God allow me to go through suffering and an all-powerful God not give me a miracle when I had faith as I prayed for limbs? And so I went through depression. And the pinnacle or climax of that was age 10, and I attempted suicide. I tried to drown myself in my bathtub with 6 inches of water. And as I was trying to choke myself to death, I was stopped by one thought, and it was seeing my mom and my dad crying on my grave, wishing they could have done something more. And that's when I realized I didn't want to leave them with that pain. First turning point for me, age 13, I realized I had a choice either to be angry for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. And then age 15, I gave my life to Jesus reading John chapter 9. Man was born blind, no one knew why. I related to that story. And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. Jesus spits in the dirt, puts his muddy, sticky, icky fingers on the blind man's face, and the blind man doesn't stop Jesus, doesn't ask questions. He just is still, and he allows Jesus to do the miracle, and he sees. And I realized God gave me the plan, which is what I wanted. What's the plan? What's the plan? What's the plan? Tell me the plan, then I'll tell you if I trust you. On this side of heaven, the whole epiphany of our relationship with God is believing in him and trusting him despite not seeing him or knowing the plan. And the question that I realized at that point was, will I trust him? If he gave me the plan, then there's no room for faith. And so will I have the faith to believe that he does have a plan? And that's when everything changed. Despite having lack of limbs, that's nothing compared to the disability of death and sin, which Jesus conquers for us if we believe in him. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 15. Age 17, my high school janitor saw me do one speech as the vice president of my high school. And he said, God's going to take you all around the world and use you as the speaker. And didn't believe that, but I started speaking. Age 19, I became an ordained minister of the gospel. And as soon as I graduated college in business, I started going like crazy all around the world and just preaching the gospel. And so last year I did 7 countries. We were in Peru, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, Chile. I've met now 34 presidents. I've been on national television preaching the gospel to, just now over 800 million people, which is 1 in 10 in the world. And I'm only 42, and we're so, so thankful for our ministry, Nick V Ministries, and for our monthly supporters out there who help us to do what we do. And so that's my story, and got married in 2012 to Kanae. I don't hold her hand. I hold her heart. We have 4 beautiful children, 2 sons, 2 daughters, and we just got 2 puppies as well. And next year we'll be actually adopting a baby, as God wills, because we also feel like that's part of what the Lord wants us to do.
Well, Nick, that is a lot of history packed into just a few minutes, and what a journey. And I'm sure there were mountaintops and there were valleys and there were hope-filled moments and hopeless moments, and God continues to use you. It's just amazing. One of the things that stands out to me in your story is you specifically mentioning the janitor at your high school. And I think so often, you know, we think, oh, that's not our story. You know, if you're not born with a disability or have a trial that you're trying to overcome, but God uses everyone in our story. And how amazing that he used the janitor in your high school to speak those words of truth that obviously resonated so deeply that here you are, you know, at age 42, still speaking about that moment when the Holy Spirit prompted him to speak. I just think that's encouraging to know, because we all have that power to speak words of life into other people's journey. And I'm sure that, you know, it hasn't always been easy, Nick, even, you know, starting your journey. What are the things that continue to help you see hope in the world? When you look at Nick V Ministries, you see a lot of things that are really challenging in the world. A lot of people living with pain and trauma and trials. What are the things that continue to give you hope in the purposes of God?
You know, I appreciate that. I do want to expand the statement that you made earlier, because it's so true and it's beautiful and it's poignant for each listener. I want you to know that your history is his story. In speaking in 84 countries, 3,500 times, and 2.5 billion people knowing something about this limbless dude, Nick, I've written out 106 different ways on how the human being can suffer. And God has grace that is sufficient when he doesn't change a circumstance. I have no limbs still today. I have 2 pairs of shoes in my closet in case he gives me arms and legs. But I'm not waiting for a physical healing. My soul is in the hands of God. My soul is saved. My mind is renewed. And I'm a full-time servant for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whatever I've gone through, when I don't get a miracle, I can still be a miracle. I just want everyone to know that I may not understand your pain, nor even the janitor's pain of life. We don't compare each other's sufferings, but what we do is leaning in on the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, God, you've brought me to this. I'm praying and waiting for a circumstance to change, but use my circumstance if you don't change it. And that actually, Jessica, is the reason and the focus that I have as to why I still do what I do. It's not just to go out and do what God's called me to do as an evangelist. It's actually allowing everyone to know that God has a plan for them, that all things come together for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. And we all have the ability to realize when you don't get a miracle, you can still be one. And if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use any willing heart. And I think there's a lot of people out there, Jessica, who's still crippled with the prosperity gospel, that God will always, well, I'm going to call it the fake gospel, that God will always give you what you want. He's not a vending machine. He'll give you what you need. And it's just a matter of time of what you think you needed compared to what you really need. Can God give me arms and legs? Yes. Do I want them? Yes. Do I pray for them? Yes. Do I need them? No. Do I still pray for them? I will until the day I die. But arms and legs are coming in heaven for sure. And until then, if I can help one other person find hope and love in Jesus, who've been perhaps sexually abused. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you know a lot of stats. You're a doctor and you do what you do. But to know that, you know, one in three girls in America have been sexually abused by age 17, and one in five boys have been sexually abused by age 17, that's worse than having no limbs. But God will not waste your pain. If you give him your broken pieces, he'll be able to not just heal your heart and heal your wounds through counseling and the family of God and scripture and all that. But then you can actually relate to someone who's going through that or been through that. And you can be a more powerful tool than me. I could argue that. As an evangelist traveling around the world, I still don't know what it means to be sexually abused. Just like people with arms and legs don't know how it feels to have no limbs, and I can help a limbless person more effectively. God can use us all, but I'm just trying to say God can use everyone, and God does have a plan for you. And that is now the season of life that I'm in, Jessica, where I'm really halting back on travel outside of just preaching the gospel and helping other people's stories be told, because that's the greatest thing. It's our testimony that saves people's lives more than we know. And I just wish more of us would realize that and share it more.
Well, I'm definitely going to hold on to that, Nick. Your history is his story, because so many of our stories are filled with brokenness. While some people are crippled in body, there are other people, as you said, Nick, are crippled in spirit, and we can't see their pain. Their pain is invisible, but it is still there. And you're right when we talk about what Jesus told us. I think about John 16. One of the headings of that, John 16:16, is that the disciples' grief will turn to joy. And the ending verse of that chapter, John 16:33, is, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And Nick, that is the message of hope that I carry. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk specifically about the work that you do to impact human trafficking and the calling and the conviction that you have. And that is the hope that I carry, because looking at a world where something like human trafficking, sexual abuse happens, it is so disheartening. But we are going to talk about how we can take heart, even in those situations and circumstances that seem so broken. We know that God has mobilized an army to fight for his children, and we'll share some of that hope and healing with you when we come back. More with Nick V on the other side of this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Pray for a miracle, thirsty for the living word. Sweetness at the mercy seat, I've tasted, it's not hard to see, only you can satisfy.
Welcome back, friends. There is Honey in the Rock. That song is by Brooke Leggert-Wood featuring Brandon Lake. And if you are praying for a miracle, that miracle may be coming to you today in the form of Nick Vujicic. His life is a miracle. He's an Australian-American known around the world, born without arms or legs, but Nick has just so graciously shared his story, as he has done, I'm sure, thousands of times before, to millions of people in almost 100 countries, and God is using him. He's talking about his story, and our prescription for hope today is fighting for freedom. There are people around the world who need freedom, physical freedom, spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, freedom in their mental health. And some of those people are people in human trafficking. Now, since 2005, Nick and Nick V Ministries, they've been at the forefront for advocating for these people, for the brokenhearted, the disabled, the foster children, the prisoner, the unborn, the veteran, the bullied, the oppressed, the suicidal. And they have shared the gospel with over 790 million people to date. Their current mission is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to 1 billion more, and there will be more today. I know who are listening. We have prayed for you. I know Nick and his team have prayed for you. If you are here hearing the hope of Jesus Christ for the first time, God has orchestrated that miracle just for you. Nick's impactful life, his message of hope, have touched the hearts of people from all walks of life. He has addressed 12 governments, met 24 presidents, vice presidents and prime ministers, and he's here to talk about that today. So Nick, thank you again so much for being with us, for sharing your testimony so boldly and so authentically. And I want to dive into the topic we're really here to talk about today, and that's human trafficking. My listeners know that in my life as a professor, as an advocate, this is my primary area of focus. When God called my heart about 10 years ago to fight for freedom for people who need it. So you are a renowned speaker around the world. What kind of exposure have you had? How did you have this calling from God to really fight against human trafficking?
You know, I don't know how old everyone is listening, but as a 42-year-old who started traveling around the world at age 19, I've seen a lot. And pre-2000 and I'm going to call it 2010, somewhere there. Many people in America did not know of human trafficking being an issue in our own country. We saw human trafficking as something of an international thing. Man, there's a lot more international things that we don't know. Still, there are families that are in slave camps, building bricks, breaking rocks, just hard labor, children, hard labor. Then we know the sexual trafficking. My first exposure was actually in India, in Mumbai. And I actually met some pimps and madams who had their house, and there were six girls in each house. And we went to the red light district, drove around it. It was 10 acres of, I don't know how many, hundreds of small homes all stacked on top of each other, and telling me about how there are cages underneath the ground that, if you will, break in the tiny kids. And we couldn't go there, but I was able to, believe it or not, preach the gospel in front of 650 sex slaves. And it ripped my heart in knowing that many of them we couldn't rescue. We only rescued two of them, paid off their debt that night, got him into a Christian rehab ministry that I was associated with. We saw a lot of miracles, but then they had to go back. And it was just heart-ripping. That was back in 2008. And so that was 17 years ago. Really good friends with A21, Christine Kane, and her hubby, Nick. And then my favorite human trafficking advocate is Jakub Bujan. Jakub Bujan's ministry is based out here in Texas, in DFW area. And I've learned quite a lot. And as we're now hearing within even the CPS Child Protection Services and the foster system, believe it or not, I have many friends who foster kids, and then they find out that other foster parents were just pimping the foster kids. It's unbelievable to see the fact that Jakub Bujan knows really, really well. There are some systematic things that are happening on a governmental level even today, where it's just continuing to put children at risk. Believe it or not, there's a lot of systematic governmental things that include no bridge for aging out foster kids, that 85% of them end up in jail. A lot of them are human trafficked. And even our own schools, Jessica, schools, it is very well known that human trafficking is happening at schools. The greatest way to make money ain't drug trafficking, it's human trafficking. And social media is extremely dangerous. And 7 hours a day, all of our kids are on it. And there are predators out there who groom the recruiters in the schools to actually set it all up. And actually, in a way, do human trafficking that the victim doesn't even think it's human trafficking anymore. It's just part of what they do, and that's how they make money. And that's kind of what the group does. It's unbelievable where the enemy has even blinded our new generation and even parents from how really close this is to each and every one of us. And for me, Jessica, it was I want to learn everything I can. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to nickvministries.org, you can see the Champions for the Brokenhearted series. I've been doing interviews with experts and stories and giving out free resources through the Champions for the Brokenhearted series. And I've now interviewed Jakub Boyan several times in helping us all understand how close human trafficking really is to our own home. It's going to shock you, much information. And I don't want to get too deep. It's too heavy. It's really mm-hmm. dark. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to be aware of this is not just in our backyard. It's in our own schools. And we do need to talk about it. Education needs to be brought into it. It's interesting to me how there are, let me say it this way. I hope that in this new administration that the education system of America would actually bring up to speed parents and teenagers about the awareness of human trafficking. Just like Louisiana is bringing in education for unexpected pregnancies, that adoption is an option. This is just as important and immediate. And I really believe that we need to, as a church, start really opening up our eyes. Whether we are in a Christian school or not, it's everywhere. And it's really sad. And so that was my first experience. But then realizing how close it is to home, I'm burdened. I'm burdened for our country. I'm burdened that not more churches are really talking about it. I'm burdened with the fact that I don't care who's the president, the numbers haven't changed because the body of Christ hasn't done anything different when it comes to taking 410,000 foster kids off the list and 110,000 children waiting for adoption. When it comes to sexual purity, Jessica, I've had a lot of frustration with church leaders because human trafficking actually starts from pornographic addiction. And there's a lot of men out there addicted to porn. And it's the blood vein of all of this. If you cut the demand for porn straight up, that should ripple effect through the whole system. And unfortunately, there's some stats out there to say that 1 out of 5 men who go to church are addicted to porn and haven't told anybody. And so I've spoken to heads of denomination about this, and I said, would you be open to actually starting a Bible study? We've learned the powers of addiction that the enemy has. Our ministry, Champions for the Brokenhearted, we talk about substance addictions and pornographic addictions and all these things, and you'll be surprised how many church leaders say no to my request that they start a Bible mm-hmm. study. And I kind of wondered for a little bit why, and now I realize it's because they would have to be the first one to take that Bible study. And it's true. Pornographic addiction is not talked about at church. And the last time that we've all talked about sexualization of kids and stuff is, well, that's what the school does. That's what education does. It actually starts in our churches in understanding a couple of things. We haven't heard a message, in my opinion, from the pulpit about Gen Z keeping their pants on until marriage since 2005. We've watered down the gospel to make it more appealing for the lost to come through the doors. We don't even know how to preach a gospel, generally speaking, nor raise up disciples where young men are young men of God who keep their pants on. Jessica, I don't know if you know this, but 67% of all teenagers today 67%. self-produced pornographic images for their boyfriends. Today, in Christian schools and public schools, if you go to the football club, the football stars of the school, their biggest question to each other is, how many trophies have you got? And that's, how many women have you slept with? And so many problems in our country, if we don't educate, correct, discipline, and disciple the young people, we're never going to get ahead of this. So it starts with our young people.
Mm-hmm.
And why should we be surprised that evil people do evil things? Where we need to go is first, go to the root of this, and how many of the body of Christ is actually part of the, either part of the problem, or just very ignorant of the actual problem we have in our country.
You know, Nick, as you're talking, it is just amazing to me. Here you are, a man born in Australia without arms or legs, without limbs. Here I am, a woman born in Texas, born into a family that struggled with the impacts of addiction. One, you know, thing visible, one thing not visible. But somehow God has called us both to be anti-trafficking advocates and given us very similar charges, very similar exposures. All of the things that you're talking about are exactly what I have seen as a pediatric nurse practitioner, as a professor, as a clinician in my community. That is exactly what we've seen. Starting back in 2010, I thought that trafficking happened in another country, and it was through a church-sponsored organization that the leader came to me and said, can you help us to educate nurses about trafficking? And Nick, what I said was, absolutely not. No, I don't know anything about trafficking. I mean, I know you go to other countries and help people, and is it happening in other countries just like you described so heartbreakingly? Yes, it absolutely is. But is it happening in our communities? Absolutely. It is happening in our schools. It is happening in the foster care system. You and I both live here in Texas. That is a huge concern because traffickers have discovered that they can really exploit the foster care system. Those are kids who have been traumatized, who are easy to groom, easy to manipulate, and they get paid by the state in addition to exploiting them for money. There's so much more to talk about. We're coming up on a break, but when we come back, we're going to empower you. I'll share a little bit more of my perspective. But we will empower you with, what can you do to help in the fight for freedom? What is God calling you to do? Whether that's to talk to the children in your own home, to bring a program to your school, to rise up in your own advocacy journey, there is something for you. We'll be right back with more from Nick V Ministries. Don't go away. Right after this break, we'll see ya.
Here's Dr. John Oswalt from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
One of the remarkable things about the God of the Bible is that he is a God who speaks. The writers of the Bible again and again talk of him as the living God. And when they do, they include this idea that the idols are dumb. They cannot speak. Language is an incredible mystery, really. What is it that makes human beings able to communicate in word? Personally, I think that is the image of God in us, because God speaks. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God spoke the world into existence. It did not somehow evolve from his body. It was something that he spoke.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up. Lord, you make me wanna shout it. Oh, you're the goodness in my life. And I'ma tell you my truth. They may come, they may go. You keep showing up, so do. Ain't no doubt about it. You are the goodness in my life.
Welcome back, friends. That is The Goodness by Toby Mac, featuring Blessing Offer. And we're talking today to Nick Vujicic, a man born in Australia, God has used him all over the world, speaking, sharing the gospel to more than 790 million people in 86 countries. We're talking about a really tough topic today, but one that Nick and I share a passion for, and that is advocating against human trafficking. Your prescription for hope today is fighting for freedom. Fight for freedom for people who are entrapped in trafficking situations, whether that's international, whether that's in the foster care system, whether that's in the schools. And Nick, before the break, I was telling you a little bit about my journey, and I started to equip healthcare professionals because what I learned was that people who experienced trafficking had very complex healthcare needs, whether that was from physical abuse, from neglect, from risk-taking behaviors, from just all kinds of things that you can imagine living in a life of trafficking. But through that, I saw the intersection of the foster care system. I saw the intersection of suicidality. And so I've helped to start organizations for healthcare providers, the Alliance for Children in Trafficking, the Alliance for Children in the Foster Care System, the Alliance to Prevent Youth Suicide. All of these things are so intertwined. And Nick, I have worked with children in the school district who are just going to school every single day. And because kids are easy to groom, they don't sometimes recognize their victimization. They can be manipulated. They can be abused. And these are realities. But one of the things that I wanted to go back to, Nick, is something that you said about parents not wanting to talk about it. And when things are scary, when things are dark, when things are disturbing, we kind of take that, oh, I don't want to talk about that. That just makes me, you know, that just makes me feel so hopeless. But we must talk about it. We have to talk to our kids about it in a way that positions up us as parents, as the expert, as a trusted source of information, giving them exposure that's developmentally appropriate, that's trauma-informed, so they can feel empowered to act. And Nick, what I see is a lot of parents who are more scared of the stranger in the parking lot than the thousands of strangers that kids are inviting into their bedroom on a daily basis and interacting with them on social media. That is something that is really scary that we see as people are moving from the street, as trafficking is moving from the street to the smartphone. And so much more to talk about, but I know we only have you for a few more minutes. So I want to give you the floor to talk about Nick V Ministries. What can people do if they feel that call from God to rise up in their spirits, to do something? What can they do, and how does Nick V Ministries come alongside them to help them do that?
You know, we thank you so much, Jessica, for what you do, by the way, and God bless you and your ministry and your team and all the listeners. I really encourage you to go to nickvministries.org, check out Champions for the Brokenhearted. You know, if you have a heart for the brokenhearted, I think one of the things, whether someone's being sexually abused, human trafficked, bullied, they're disabled, a family member with a veteran, I think counseling is something that we all need to see hearts healed, minds renewed. But it's just getting educated first. And all that is there at the website. Believe it or not, there are a lot of incredible nonprofit organizations that are on the tip of the spear with this, who do have ways in how you can support them. You've got Jakub Bujans, his resources there, A21, Christine Kane, her resources globally, so many other organizations out there that you could partner with, whether it's monetarily or prayerfully or being a volunteer or getting those resources and educating your community. Just know that all of that there is at nickvministries.org as a hub of information and video pieces. And if there's anyone listening, you're being sexually active or you're being groomed to recruit some things that just you know is not right, tell someone. There's a human trafficking hotline that you can check out. And Dr. Jessica, she's got, I'm sure, many, many more resources on this. But, you know, immediately just now, be aware that the danger is there and near you and closer than you think, not to just freak you out, but be aware and be on the lookout for your friends. Start having conversations, parents, about this at home. Explain to them why you don't speak to strangers on your phone or meet up with someone you've never met. And just be really, really careful. So please go to nickzministries.org to be fully educated. And also, I preach the gospel on that website to anyone who has experienced human trafficking. Jesus heals. He can redeem anything. And he can still cause you to be a miracle for somebody else. And so don't ever give up. Take one day at a time and know that God is with you. And this pain that we have, this circumstance that we have, he will not waste that pain. He may cause us eventually not just to be healed and redeemed, but to also help someone else who's in need or in a dark place. So keep on going. Don't ever give up. And don't fight this dark fight alone. Tell someone because you don't have to do this alone.
Nick, I think that's a really powerful message, and thank you so much for spending time with us today to share your remarkable story. And whether people listening have a broken body, a broken spirit, a broken mind, you're right. We serve a God who redeems, who restores, who renews, who gives hope, who makes beauty from ashes, no matter what that is. Thank you so much. May God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and your ministries. And I pray that it continues the work that you're doing continues to go far and wide. Thank you so much.
It's been a real honor to get to know you and appreciate your time. Thank you for the blessing and blessings back to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nick. Well, for our listeners who are still here, listen, I want to conclude with giving you some more resources. And I want to share with you a quote from Nick. He said, "Whether you're trying to make sense of your past, trying to overcome something in the present, or trying to make changes for a better future, the Lord cares about you. He loves you. No matter what challenges you or your loved ones are facing, no matter the pain or difficult feelings you may be experiencing, and no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, there is hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. God has a plan for your life, and it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And if you go to nickvministries.org, you can listen to Nick share more of the gospel, more of the hope, of the good news that is found in Jesus. And as I said at the top of this program, Nick does so much more for so many more populations. It's not just human trafficking. It's also bullying and foster care and suicide and all those kinds of circumstances where you feel like you don't have hope. And I know that these are things that are so hard to talk about, but I don't know about you, and listening to Nick and seeing a man born without arms or legs, born with arms and legs would look at that and think, how can he sit there with so much hope and reach out to so many more populations? Well, that is the redemptive power of God. That is the redemption of God in Nick's story. And that is the redemption of God's power in your story as well. Now, Nick talked a little bit about pornography, and that is something that is really important to talk with kids about. Now, I want to share with you, as I started on this human trafficking advocacy journey, and I worked in this space, I recognized that, yes, there are awful things that happen. And I sat heart to heart, eye to eye with people who had experienced some of the most unimaginable traumas that you could possibly imagine. But I recognize that most of those stories don't start overnight with an abduction. Most of those stories start, just as Nick said, with risk-taking behaviors that happen online. It comes with sexual exposures that normalize the sexualization of children. Again, I know this is a really tough thing to talk about, but we have to talk to our kids about it. And I encountered a lot of parents who would have these conversations with their kids and realize, oh my goodness, there is more going on than I had realized. Because sometimes kids don't feel comfortable coming to parents to talk about these things if that door is not open. Most of the time, kids have so much respect for their parents and they think, oh, this is such an awkward conversation. I don't know if my parents even know about this because, you know, they don't know about the world that I'm facing today. That's just a normal thing for kids to think. So listen, parents, if I can tell you anything, it's to tell your kids over and over and over again, and to the point that they are rolling their eyes and sighing at you and saying, I know, Mom, I know, Dad, I know. Tell them, you can always tell me anything. You can always tell me anything. Push forward in those conversations that seem really awkward. Your job as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, as an invested adult in a kid's life is to make a safe space in an unsafe world, to have those conversations with them in a developmentally appropriate way that gives them the information that they need. A lot of parents think, what I hear is, I don't want to expose my kids to things they haven't been exposed to. But here is the truth. When we live in a world that is saturated by screens, that exposure absolutely will happen. And you can choose to let it be uncontrolled, to let it be unsupervised, to let it be unguided, or you can choose to let it be controlled, to let it be supervised, to let it be guided, to just give them enough information to say, hey, you may see this in the world. You may see something like human trafficking. Some of those signs are that. Have you ever heard the phrase that if something seems too good to be true, it usually is? Well, if there's a situation that comes along that seems too good to be true, if somebody is giving your friends lots of gifts, if they seem like they have a lot of money, if they seem like they're just too nice for words, that is something that should be talked about. There may be some danger there. That's something that you should come and talk to me about. If someone is talking to you online and they seem too good to be true, you don't know them in person, that is really important. When I started having all of these conversations and realizing I'm having conversations with kids about this every day, it really was on my heart to equip parents to do the same. And that is what led me to write the book, Behind Closed Doors, a guide for parents and teens to navigate through life's toughest issues. I talk about how to talk to your kids about sex, how to talk to them about pornography, how to talk to them about mental health issues, how to talk to them about human trafficking, how to talk to them about any of those issues that seem so difficult. We can do that with not from a fear-based place, from a place that is faith informed. That is really important. So I would encourage you, if you are thinking, what can I do to have those conversations? We've also covered a lot of those chapters in past shows here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. You can go back and look through the recordings and find information there. For specific resources on human trafficking, you can go to unboundnow.org. That's unboundnow.org. That's an organization that I've helped to develop their trainings. If you click on the top, there's a tab there that says learn, and you can click down and go to learn. And there are all kinds of on-demand trainings. There are trainings that are free that are online that you can take at any point. There's ones for medical professionals, dental professionals, people who work in a school, law enforcement. There are also training for the community. There's training for parents and caregivers, for students. How do you bring this into your school for a program and talk about it again in a way that is developmentally appropriate? We are not saying to go in there and give every kid every nitty-gritty detail of every horrible thing that's in the world, but just equipping them to say, there are some scary things out there you might encounter. Here are some warning signs to look for, and here are some safe adults that you can go to and talk to, because we see kids who are engaging in things like sextortion, where they get online and they don't know that they are working with a very sophisticated extortion ring. And then all of a sudden, they can't see hope for tomorrow. And this can happen and escalate really quickly. It's important to know that good kids can make poor choices, so we need to equip them and give them some safety nets. For that community training, there's training for faith communities. Maybe you want to bring it to your church or the hospitality industry. And there's some curriculum there for youth prevention on keeping students safe and sentinel. So you can go to unboundnow.org. You can go to nickvministries.org. Our call to you today is to fight for freedom, whatever that way that is, whether that's within your own home, within your community, within your profession, wherever it is. We know that God has equipped you to speak up, to be a voice of hope. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you as you fight for freedom. We know that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has overcome the world. And we'll see you right back here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.